Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to Season 263, Episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast. I would maybe say the only fucking podcast out there where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and go, whoa, shit, okay, that's what we got going on? Okay, yeah. Fine. Well, today is Tuesday, November 15th. Miles, what day is it? Well, allow me to tell you, Miles, it is National Spicy Hermit Cookie Day. I don't know what the fuck that means. National Raisin Bran Day, National Philanthropy Day, National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day, National Bunt Day, like a bunt cake, and America Recycles Day. Not really. We don't. Let's be real. I live in LA where they're like, yeah, man, we recycle all this plastic. And you're like, yeah, we only do like the box.
Dude, you have to like look at the bottom of your plastics and see what number is the correct number.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
You know, America does not recycle. America lies to you. They lie about recycling.
America has recycling bins.
They have the bins.
We got the
aspirational
bins.
Recycling motivation, but they don't actually do it good.
Well, actually, before I introduce you, guy, let me introduce me, guy. It's me, Miles Gray, a.k.a. Where is it?
And he's dead.
Okay, here we go. It's part of the song. I'm trying to remember where it comes in the melody. Here we go. Miles Gray, a.k.a. You're about to try out, so you shout a ride out at Six Flags, at Six Flags. Zombies biting with their teeth and their arms, flailing, chasing you down. At Six Flags, at Six Flags, shows are nightly. At Six Flags, at Six Flags, zombies, zombies, zombie. That's the one. That's the one you really got to hit if you respect the cranberry. Shout out to Fighter of the Nightman with that cranberry zombie, a.k.a. because we were talking about the hilarious video of people auditioning to be zombies at Six Flags. And they had to basically be like, all right, give your like introduce yourself and just scream out your favorite ride at like Six Flags so we know you're on some zombie shit. There wasn't a lot to be, you know, admired.
It was enjoyable is what it sounds like.
Yeah, but it was fun. So shout out to that AKA. But who is that? Who is that over there? Oh, it's one of our favorite guests. And honestly, one of my favorites. I was just talking about how I love people from the Bay Area. You know him as a hilarious stand-up comedian or his many wonderful podcasts discussing seminal topics like The Wire or The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Hello. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Yo, Matt Lieb, Matt Lieb, Matt Lieb, Matt Lieb. I'm begging of you, please don't change another diaper and get some sleep. What's up?
What's up, Big Daddy?
I didn't really, I didn't get the landing there. I didn't stick it, but hey,
you did.
I'm happy to be here. Tired. I have a newborn baby, and yet I decide, you know what? Fuck the baby for just a little bit. I'm going to do a podcast. I feel like...
I remember last time we caught you, what, like 3 weeks in?
Less. I was like, the baby had just come out the vagina. And I was like, hold that thought, baby. I got a pod. And,
wow. And now? Any more sleep deprived?
More sleep deprived, but also she's like, now she gets a little bit longer stretches. So that's nice. Okay. But lots of doo-doo, man. She just she's a little poop machine.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear about babies early on in life. They're just kind of making sense of it all, you know?
I know, but after a while, it's like, figure it out. You know what I mean? It's like, what? Like, are you stupid? Just poo normal, idiot. Yeah, that...
what? Wait, what's baby rearing book are you reading? I'm
curious. I was reading, Babies Are Idiots by Jordan B. Peterson. It's about how girl babies are always trying to emasculate boy babies and how you should put them in their place by yelling at them about how they're idiots when they poo-poo their pants.
Shame them. Yeah, shame them and say, this is how you keep your room? Anyway, Matt, we are very, very blessed to actually be joined by people who are fantastic professionals in their own right. You know, they founded a boutique creative studio where they do fantastic podcasts like the very one that they host called Mashup Americans. It's not just a clever name. They are the go-to place for hyphenated Americans, you know, just to get your feel of the culture, because not all of us are just straight up Americans. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some of us are bringing some flavor from abroad or other places. So please welcome to the show, Rebecca Lehrer and Amy Choi.
Yeah. Wow. Newborn babies.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're going to be tired for so much longer. That's
I'm
my
so excited.
Insight.
You're so excited. Well, as people who have actually, you know, you were on a pod, what'd you say? Like minutes after a baby popped out of a vagina?
Seconds even.
Podcast, The Mashup Americans, which is coming back with us as hosts for the first time in 3 years. We launched it in November 9th, 2015, when I had just had a baby.
Wow.
Yes. Literally the same day.
Rebecca went to Margaret Cho's house, and our producer was like, Amy, do you think you can fly out? And I was like, no, dude, because I just had a baby come out of my body.
Oh, when?
I don't think I'm flying. Even to Margaret Cho's house.
No. But she did have a beautiful, like, poster of Joan Rivers made of Joan Rivers trash, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, anyways. There were, like, cigarette butts and condoms on there. It was great.
Margaret Cho had that? Or
Margaret, or Amy's baby, actually.
Yeah, I was like, oh, now Amy's baby come out.
Amy,
that was the placenta. It was, like, that's what kept the baby alive.
Just
hell yeah.
Joan
the commentary
Rivers.
On her, yeah.
But I did read that Jordan Peterson for Babies book, and it's going so well for me.
It's a great book. It's a great way to teach yourself about how babies are a part of the problem of... I'm praying again. Babies are... Do you ever watch Disney movies? Emasculate! I'm sorry. No, he's a great guy.
You know, I thought someone was going to say the David Cross album Shut Up You Fucking Baby. It's also a fantastic child rearing book. But please before we get to know you better, Rebecca and Amy, let's let people know what we're going to be talking about. Just want to check in with a quick right-wing grift. Remember America's Frontline Doctors? Remember that group? They were like, we are the doctors that are willing to throw our license in the trash for some quick cash. Well,
yeah.
That shit is such a mess. I had no idea. We'll talk about that because they're fighting each other over some money now, as it happens with grifters. And also, just checking in just with the GOP right now. Everybody hates either the party or Trump or themselves, but not quite owning up to the fact that maybe it's the fucking policies. But whatever. Mm. It's anybody but the policies. So we'll check in with just all the hateration that's going on as it becomes more and more of a circular firing squad. But let's get into it. Before we do all that and even more baby talk, but first, we got to ask our guests, Amy, Rebecca, whoever wants to go first, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or what you're into right now?
Oh, well, I was just receiving orders, my marching orders from my sister for Thanksgiving. And I was tasked with cocktails, but she did the thing where, like, she pretends that she's giving you freedom to be like, oh, can you handle booze? And I was like, yeah, sure. What booze? She's like, oh, I don't know. What do you think? And I was like, well, what about this? And 2 seconds later, she's like, you know, it'd be really great as Negronis. And I was just like, you know, you're my big sister. Just tell me. Just the pretending that, like, as a type A control freak person, embrace it. Just be like, no, you need to bring this for me. So anyway, I was just doing some Negroni research, and I learned that there's a thing called a white Negroni, which sounds really racist, but also delicious. It's
okay.
Lillet with vermouth and gin and the stuff. And I was like, you know, I bet. So I'm going to make white Negronis. That was my last
I had
research.
A white Negroni the other day.
Was it good?
It was racist. Delicious.
Delicious and racist.
Also, I just watched that show Drink Masters on Netflix that I kept trying to hate, but kept loving, watched all the way to the end. It's like kind of it peters out, but it was fun to watch people make cocktails.
A white Negroni is very like your brand of podcast, like the hyphenate, you know what I mean?
right.
Like kind of makes a lot of sense.
That's right.
I've completely missed the Negroni wave. There was a time when it's still happening now. I mean, like there's places that's like, yeah, man, you gotta try their Negroni. I'm like, I don't even like saying
the word, to be honest.
You shouldn't. But you know what? I'm gonna say like my Lazy Girls cocktail is how it's always been, like a Campari and a little bit of that like grapefruit soda on ice. And it's just like, it's easy. Feels good to drink at like 4 p.m. Don't feel like I need to wait till 5 for that one. Exactly. So, you know, the Negroni.
Look,
just
I'll tell you something. I don't wait till 5 anyway, so I don't need a reason. You know.
This is actually the
Alcoholics Anonymous.
I didn't wait till any time. I just went for it, which is why I'm 13 years sober. So I hope for you guys to find Christ in your life as soon as possible. Because you are heathens drinking alcohol.
You said we should find Christ. Is that a new bar that opened up?
Yeah. That's a new bar. Find Christ.
It's in Highland Park.
It's on Eagle Rock, right?
And they put a little communion cracker. I don't know what those are called.
Yeah. Oh, it's a church on York.
This is
it's
a the Jew. Old church on
Yeah, I don't get it. Oh, you and I are both this hyphenate. We're both Jewish. Okay, so I have a soundboard that is Kanye saying Jewish.
No.
And so I won't be using the soundboard a lot, but occasionally I will press that button because
okay. Well, good. As a very proud Jew, I love to hear it.
Said
I like
it all.
That.
it's the way Kanye said it. Because it's so just offensive, but it's so playfully offensive. What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Rebecca,
well, my
what about
search
you?
History, yeah. Yes, that is. I was Googling when does the new Best Man TV show come out. I don't know if you have watched the Best Man series starring Taye Diggs, Regina Hall, Morris Chestnut.
Based off the film, right?
Yeah, the first film came out in 1999. Then there was the second one in 2013. And there's a new series coming out in December. And the level of excitement I feel.
It might be the thread with which Rebecca is hanging on. as we crawl to the end of
December 22nd. I have nothing to gain from this except my own happiness. It is truly one of my favorite. And talk about people who have, not surprising, aged incredibly well. Every one of those people could watch. I hope that they do Best Man at end of life in another 30 years, because I would love to watch that one too. Right. So anyways, that was my, it just brings me joy. It's like vaguely Christian undertones, lots of great dancing, a little bit of drama, extremely attractive people, great actors.
Good soundtrack.
Great
too.
Music.
Good soundtrack. Exactly. I remember I had the Best Man soundtrack back in 19. I had that CD.
Oh, that was back when soundtracks were the shit.
Yeah, back then for me, it was like for 14-year-old Miles to like be like, what's Earth, Wind, and Fire?
You know
what I mean? And then put that in, like, because I think Shining Star was on that soundtrack, and like As by Stevie Wonder and a lot of things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What the fuck is this shit? And my dad was like, what is this? And I'm like, it's the Best Man soundtrack. He's like, the fuck it is? What are you talking about? So shout out to those compilation soundtracks that were just sort of pushing me to explore more music.
You know, that's a great one. Set It Off.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? For the
Involve track? What's going on? Because I can't pretend. Oh, don't you want to be more than friends? Hold me tight and don't let go. Don't let go.
Oh, wow. You're falsetto. Right, it's so good.
Wow. I mean, what happens in that
movie? Set It Off.
That is one of the best albums of all time. Yeah. I would just. Did you guys have the box on that radio, the like TV channel that was like the late box, night music cable? And it would just be, I watched a lot of,
box.
It was always either like what was, what was the like clownish one?
Insane Clown Posse?
No, Korn. Korn.
Oh, okay.
It would also.
Don't insult Korn calling them clowns.
They're Christians.
Three
now.
Okay.
Korn is sure Christian now?
Oh, yeah. Jonathan. He's big. Man,
Jonathan
they're
Davis
unplugged.
Is Christian?
Dude, you remember when they did that MTV Unplugged? He brought up Amy Lee from Evanescence to do Freak on a Leash.
But does that make them Christian?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because remember Monkey, like Fieldy went on Huckabee's show.
Oh, no. I don't want to ever update my knowledge of various members of Korn. Because I know it's going to end bad. It's going to end with a MAGA hat somewhere along the line.
Well, that's so like Kid Rock. My name is Kid Rock. But all of them from the 90s, I think.
No, I don't like to think that way. I like to think that they just existed in that one apolitical bubble where they're like mad at their moms and screaming, making song after song about how mom is mean and teachers suck. Mm-hmm. Like that's good stuff.
I'm really glad. I didn't know you guys would love Korn so much. I didn't know the level
Korn like twice.
Huge fan.
Wow.
Look, if you had a little bit of turbulence, if there was a little bit of turbulence at home and that album was out, Follow the Leader,
smallest bit of turbulence.
You were snorting up those songs like Freak on a Leash, Got the Life.
I feel like a freak on a leash.
God hates me!
Exactly.
But you know who did not age well was Billy Corgan. I just saw a clip of him. He was on stage eating barbecue chips or something.
He was eating like nachos or he was like chicken wings on stage.
And, like dipping?
What?
I was like, what happened to being a rat in a cage, dude? What happened?
But I was going to say, that was my turbulent screming song, was definitely that album.
Despite all my rage, I'm still going to eat chicken wings.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it says, there's an article that says, Korn's Jonathan Davis shares his problem with Christianity. So it looks like Head and Fieldy are very Christian, and they go to church all the time. And they said, have you been to church? He said he hadn't been to their churches. He's been to church and he respects their beliefs that, quote, the world would be a much better place if people would just stop fucking sticking their noses where they don't belong and respect people's beliefs.
Beautiful. I love that. That's
OK.
That's
and then
good.
He says his only issue with Christianity being, quote, the fucking holier than thou, we're better than you bullshit. Oh, so
okay.
Maybe,
okay.
So maybe he was dealing, maybe he's trying to balance the Christianity of the other members.
I like that. Like, he might be a normal dude, like a normal dude from Bakersfield, who's like not the fucking, you know, not the stereotype of, you know, evangelical, you know, what do you call it? Central Valley asshole, like normal right. guys who are like, I don't know, I'm surrounded by a lot of Christians. Some of them are good, some of them are bad.
Oh, like, wow. Yeah, because the band kind of blew up because one's like, dude, I got to get into Christ heavy, bro. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
Wow, we're learning so much about corn
in
history.
2006, in 2006, Davis, in an interview with Risen magazine, I'm sure that has to be about
oh, wow.
him rising from the tomb.
Could be about Davis. Quote,
Matt, this is the time for your button.
Yeah, exactly.
Jewish.
Davis said, quote, I've always been a believer in God, man. I just don't believe in organized religion. I think people get too fanatical with it. I'm not a big believer in the Bible and that kind of stuff. I just believe if you're good to people, they should be good back to you. And that's the way I live. I pray and do that stuff. But it's more of a personal thing with me. I'm not out there trying to broadcast it and do all the things born again Christians do. Okay, so
I'm into him. I'm into wow. that.
Oh, well, we're into that. This is really good. This actually, I know we were trying to stay in an apolitical bubble, but if it actually reinforces our like for this person, it feels okay to me.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's move on to overrated. Amy, Rebecca, what's something you think is overrated?
Oh, I've been thinking about this a lot, and it has a lot to do with our current project, which is about grief and love and how to live a good life in America, which is, I think, how do I say this? Capitalism? Mm-hmm. Just productivity, okay. The idea of like finding utility and usefulness at all costs. I don't think it's good for us, guys. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
Maybe it's not.
I'm not sure that I can use this time productively, so I'm not sure I can answer.
As a father now, I want to say, what are you, communist?
What are you, yes. Maybe.
You got a damn socialist communist, huh? Is that what you are? You know, Hitler was a communist.
No, he was a star. Never mind.
It yeah, says he's right in the thing. National Socialist Communist Stalinist Hitler Party.
Oh, everyone God. I did explain the Nazis to my daughter on the walk to kindergarten today.
Oh.
So today was the... She was today years old.
See, that's very productive.
She learned about the Nazis. So good, there you go.
Good. Everyone has... Yeah, We all remember that walk we take with our parents when they tell us about the Nazis.
Remember the time when you learned that somebody tried to murder all of your forebears? Well, it was today.
Today.
Yeah. Anyways, I agree with you, and we don't need everything to be productive. It's very, really fucking intense. And especially when we've been thinking about this period of time in America, and you're like, wait, what? like some things are just shitty.
Stop
it's
the
just
machine.
Like everything becoming some sort of a hack or needing to have like an end that drives money or work mm-hmm. forward. I'm like, oh, well, why is this a networking event? Why can't I like make a friend? It sounds so simplistic in a way, but I also think like it is just damaging on our psyche to have everything need to be purposed for a specific reason, as if existing in the world or like having a laugh or like making relationships is not enough.
Well, right. I mean, I think that's the darkness is, right, society is reflecting back to us that merely existing isn't enough to be deemed human. So we've internalized.
Are you not monetizing your friendships, bro?
I know, right? Which is why everybody looks at somebody, like, because most people who are workers are seen as a number on a spreadsheet, like, that permeates to everything else of being like, well, shit, well, I need to also know who I can extract value from other people around me. Because it's not just about having a friendship or human connection. It's, all right, maximum fucking extraction of
yeah, exactly,
value.
Dude. All my friends have to be a value add. If you are in the negative, I will dump you. And I'll call you toxic as a way of like
I'm just gonna
moralizing
put
it.
Content right. warnings on all of these friendships.
I've got a lot of toxic friendships, aka people who will not be a value add for me in the moment that I need them to be. I love that when someone moralizes something that it's like, no, this sounds like selfishness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like
Amy, that was a, some tweet you were just saying that you saw, some thread.
Oh my God.
In the last
we all just saw this thread, right? Because are you talking about the $100?
Yes! Oh wait, what? I was like, what is this PDF psychology paper about your conflict mediation? Dude, you owe the dude $100? Pay him his fucking money.
You gotta tell Miles. You gotta, gotta
backing, tracking back. So a dude posted the kind of sorrow I have about Twitter, genuine, like, this is sad, and also joy that I feel being in the middle of the flames of destruction all around me. But seeing this tweet was a guy posting, and he was like, so I rented my apartment the end of my lease to an NYU student and, you know, left a bunch of stuff in there that they said they wanted. And so he was going to give me like $100 for the rest of the furniture and like the old air conditioner, all the stuff, so that he didn't have to buy it. And so the guy hadn't been paying him. So he texted him. He was like, hey, you know, like, can you send me my money? And the guy sent him back like 12,000 responses.
Let me just read you the beginning of this.
Okay.
So apparently, so this guy's accusing this dude of gaslighting him for asking for his $100. Hi, Jack. I was reflecting on our conversation with some colleagues and wanted to share some additional thoughts. I know you don't know much about me, but I'm a mediator who works in racial healing spaces. So
conflict is
no stranger to me. He's a white dude who opened up a conversation with a mediator in racial healing spaces. So it's going to be toasty. It's going to be a spicy, spicy text. I'm very excited to read the rest of it at some point. But
He sent him a PDF of like a psychology of like a history of trauma and why you might communicate in conflict the way that you do. And he was like, like my $100. And the guy was like, I don't think that you read any of the papers I sent you. And he's like, you are correct. I did not. Give him $100, dude. Why are we talking about this? Does it matter? Anyway.
Just value adds. The internet's wonderful. Value adds, and everything's selfishness in the end.
Capitalism.
Capitalism. Always, that's how it gets it. And Elon Musk.
All right. And Rebecca, what is something you think is overrated?
You know what? I know we've been talking a lot of trash, but I actually think being stoic and being cynical are overrated. And I mean, did I watch From Scratch on Netflix and weeping and being looking at my husband, reaching out while drinking a Manhattan, being like, our love is so beautiful. Love is so beautiful. But it's time to feel some shit and not feel so that's my overrated is being cynical, being stoic. I'm not here for it.
I feel like, especially to us and like in the work that we do, it in some ways really feels like a lack of bravery. Like it takes a lot more to feel optimistic and then to work for what you want or what you hope to see or like what energy you want to put in the world. And just being a dingus and being an asshole about everything is just, it's like such a cheap shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta give yourself something to like believe in to propel yourself forward. Because I think, I mean, you get so cynical out the gate, there you'll truly very quickly feel like there's really nothing to effort for in general or worth your time.
Yeah,
I think that can be a really slippery slope, especially as it relates to like looking at our current situation in this country. Like, there's plenty of people I know who are like, I don't even want to watch the news, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I'm like, no, you have to look that shit in its eye to understand like that there are ways to make things better. But if you're not even slightly invested in that, then yeah, you're just in the fucking way.
I felt really cynical about the midterms. And I got to say, I ended up feeling really left out when they ended up going kind of okay. I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I knew we were gonna be fine. I wasn't at all crying for weeks and weeks that fascism was gonna take over and building a bunker for me and my baby. No, I was like, nah, we're cool,
we're good.
I
mean,
we're good. my annual election day Ativan, but I do think it's not, I think one of the things about it is it's not about not seeing that things are shitty or things can be really fucked up or hard or scary, but it's about wanting to figure out what piece of it that you can deal with. And it doesn't mean all of it, or, you know, I think the internet just stokes this fear, constant fear mongering about everything. Right. And it's we're still alive. We're living, like, mm-hmm. you know, we're living. You have a new baby, like you made a human being.
I know.
So now you
all
have to make the world better. Yeah, all by yourself.
Despite the Omni crisis. Amy, what is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Well, so this was hard for me because this is something I truly love. And I think it is properly appreciated, but it is Black Harry Potter. The universe of Black Harry Potter stands on TikTok and on Twitter. Mm. And just like today, Rebecca sent me a clip, a talk, whatever. I'm not on the app, but I love it when people curate their TikTok and send it to me, which was a Black principal when Lucius Malfoy goes into her office to be like, you got to be better to my son. She's like, fuck you, dude. Get out of here. And it's just so joyful and so great. And it's really, you know, JK is a big asshole and she's gotten bigger and bigger lately. But the joy that comes to me from specifically Black Harry Potter fans is great. Mm. That's all.
My TikTok algorithm now serves me like there's
because
like
a, it knows like that you like to send it
25% of it is Black Harry Potter fandom. And I'm like, I'm so happy to observe this niche fandom. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Shout out to a niche fandom on TikTok because there's always times I'm like, wait, these people are fucking with what music?
Oh, my God. I love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
Like I had no idea how big country music was in Africa. Like, I had no idea that.
I am not on that niche.
Yo,
TikTok.
They're doing line day. They are yee-hawing it up in like Nigerian shit.
Nice.
It's
wild. I love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
What about you, Rebecca? What's something you think is underrated?
I think being with people in real life. I don't know. Like, actually turns out being an embodied person who like seeing people and being together with people makes a difference. And I never want to go to an office again. Let's just be super clear about that. I want to choose where I'm going. Yeah. But being with people in community, like going to drink white Negronis out at a real bar and look at people and see what they're wearing and be with friends. Turns out that makes me feel alive. And I love it.
The simple things we forget.
You know, I can't than TikTok, which I do. My algorithm's really, it's really understands me now. Yeah. And so I can spend hours doing that, but it's not the same as being, you know, a human being in a body.
Okay. That's a very good adult analysis. I appreciate that. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to just check in with America's frontline doctors and the hard work they've been doing.
Not my doctor.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to the best one yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to the best one yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
And we're back. America's frontline doctors. They, you know, are, I guess I was going to say were, they are the right's glowing face of medical misinformation in the age of COVID. Their founder, Dr. Simone Gold, was an emergency room doctor in LA who found a way to just, you know, get some attention by prescribing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to dying people and quickly gained notoriety that way. And then began this organization that raised over $10 million facilitating this kind of bullshit about like getting you in touch with people that will give you horse paste. So So she started off just on her own. Then she got together with other people who have no business calling themselves doctors and made the group official. They even like helped put together that, I don't know if you remember, the White Coat Summit press conference that was in D.C. with a bunch of medical quacks where there was that woman, I think Estella
Emanuel. They did it with the Four Seasons?
No, it's a total landscaping. But this was just them getting together and like, yeah, see, this is all nonsense. We can just get out of COVID by completely ignoring it. And even like Vice President Pence like visited them during that time, like sort of adding legitimacy to the whole thing. But it was clear even then that the group was completely fucked when like the biggest star from that event was this woman, Estella Emanuel, who was like, you know, just like aside from saying like really terrible bullshit medical treatments for COVID, other videos came out where like Donald Trump was like retweeting like her take about how like these medicines work. You're like, oh, that woman you retweeted said that fucking demons, like having intercourse with demons is bad for your health and that vaccines are literally using alien sperm to make people or prevent them from becoming religious. Do you have anything to say about that?
That's what I learned in science. Isn't that how it works? Alien sperm?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if we're being fair and balanced here, her first statement is true. Fucking demons is not.
We learned
good.
That on Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. You fuck a demon, then you're going to have a demon
What was her name?
Baby.
Melania?
Melisandre. I don't think it was Melania
Trump. Has sex with Stannis Baratheon and kills his gay younger brother.
Oh my
so
God.
Do not have sex with demons. I think we all learned that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that is fair. I mean, I don't think someone's going to be like, I don't know, having sex with demons is good for you. Like, that would be an interesting debate.
I think that's what they're going for, though.
Wait, but did you guys notice how, like, NASA and the government was like, yo, there are lots more UFOs coming to Earth. So we got to prepare for it. And then we were all just like, but the midterms, are we talking about this?
Like, we talk about it fairly frequently on this show. Because Jack like, is definitely like, he's like, I want to meet them. I want to see them. I'm like, bro, you saw Arrival. Like the one dude who Amy Adams had to replace. Remember him? He was all fucked up. He was like, babbling and shaking and shit. I don't know if we can handle that. Although there was a story that went along with like, governments are like researchers saying like, we need to figure out like what our plan is to like talk. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, why is all this ramping up suddenly? Like, are y'all talking right now? And you're like, just going to slow roll this thing out. It's like, yeah, so we've been vibing with them for about 10 years now. And here's a nice gift, Christmas gift for everybody.
Uh-oh. Wait, wait, can we? I need to talk about these terrible doctors more, though.
Yes, like, I'm sorry.
What?
It's the demonic sex that threw us
maybe
off.
Maybe they'll know how to communicate with aliens. Yeah. What the fuck happened there?
So, okay. So all of these people, right, they're all doing the Lord's work. And by the Lord, I mean, I don't know who, Satan or whatever dark lord they really worship, greed. The people who worked there last week found suddenly like some common Twitter employee. They're like, wait, none of my accounts are working. I'm locked out of all these things that I need to do my job. Do I have a job? And this civil war has basically been raging on for a minute between Simone Gold, the founder, and the board of America's Frontline Doctors. And ever since, you know, things have been a little up and down over at America's Frontline Doctors. Ever since Simone Gold took a little sightseeing trip to the Washington, D.C. area, I don't know, sometime around January 6th, 2021, I think. And she got caught up in some kind of
attractions that day.
Got caught up in some event where, as a doctor, she completely went back on her duty of care and watched a police officer just get beaten down and just kept going.
Well, she's a doctor. She was wanted to make sure that the cops got medical attention after she beat the shit out of them.
She's like, this one's not getting medical attention. And also, I'm trying to be literally on the front lines with this shit, so you can't say this isn't on brand for me.
That's true. So, she got the front line part.
So ever since then, things have gone sideways. She did about 60 days in jail, but when she came out, all of like the MAGA misinformation world was like, yay, she came out looking like fucking, you know, Geronimo
Nelson Mandela
or some shit. Yeah, like they were like, yeah, look at this, she's the GOAT. And once she was charged, she resigned from her board seat, but then like was starting to try and like take control from outside. Like she immediately like launched a harassment campaign against her replacement. And then the replacement, she eventually resigned due to a combination of too many threats from Simone Gold and saying, I don't think I want to be part of an illegal operation here. So she quickly found the exit. And once she was like, once the, you know, board was like, man, we got to find a way to like really formulate a case against her to get her out. They did an audit of her spending. And you'll never guess what they found in her, you know, her time as the face of America's Frontline Doctors. First off, she bought a $3.6 million mansion in Naples, Florida, where she currently lives with her younger underwear
model
boyfriend.
That's the front line. That's
yeah,
the front
exactly.
line.
Exactly. And her young underwear model boyfriend was also a Jan Sixer. So, you know, birds of a feather and all that. Yeah. She also bought 3 cars. She has monthly expenses that are averaging out to about $50,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Good, you know what her house... You know what her house, that's her personal spending. You know what her bills are? You know what her house cleaning bill is per
month? Yeah.
$5,600 per month being spent on house cleaning.
Well, when you date an underwear model, you know, shit's going to get a little
You know,
dirty.
Domestic labor.
It gets wild.
Mm-hmm.
And she even tried to get like him a bigger salary by taking one of the doctors that works for them and cutting that doctor's salary in half. Be like, they're good. Cut his salary in half. Give the other half to my boyfriend so he can buy me gifts now. So it's been a bit of a, like, just a circular firing squad. They're on top of all that. She started a, like, thing called Gold Care Health. It's like a health, bespoke healthcare service where people buy fucking tokens that, like, correlate with the medical care they need.
And
it sounds like she also has people who are working on that scam healthcare thing living out of her gigantic mansion that she bought with, like, all the America's Frontline Doctor cash. So,
wow. The medical NFTs.
Yeah. This is giving me like R. Kelly energy. There's like a lot. Whenever there's a mansion where people are then working out of it there's, you know, it's like Playboy Mansion. Like the, like there's some kind of weird vibes.
This probably has more like entrepreneur, like VC crypto, like hustler vibe more than that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Like an influencer house.
Yeah,
like I know Silicon Valley.
It's like Silicon Valley. Yeah, it's like an incubator, but for getting measles. Believe in vaccines.
Right.
Mean, but also like the evil genius of calling it frontline whatever, whatever, when America's it's like so doctors. Close to Doctors Without Borders. It like right, sounds yeah. so close to almost being legitimate and something that could yeah. be good for humanity instead well, of the exact
But that's
opposite.
A classic right-wing move that sometimes yeah. I would be like, hey, I know we're better at like creative stuff, but can you guys give us a little tutorial on marketing?
Yes.
Because yeah. like it's like Family Research Council. That sounds right. great.
Yeah.
Right. Guess what? They'll research you to be fucking have no job and only be required to be in your house.
Yeah. There are plenty of dark money groups on the left that have those kinds of names. And
really?
Yeah, I worked for a couple back in the day.
I love, well, fucking... you know what? Love to hear it. I'm glad somebody's learning
talk
something.
That shit.
Yeah, let's talk about FEC violations when your nonprofit is coordinating with a political campaign, despite that being the rules. But everyone fucking does it, and it's true.
Who
That's why
does it?
Wait, did you guys talk about how the Dems actually did some, like, supporting the primaries, supporting some of the
rat people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about the rat fucking.
Oh yeah,
sure.
The rat fucking. Yeah.
Well, also, and how like how that makes you like less impressed with like their win, because you're like, y'all still Democrats still need a fucking platform, and it can't just be these motherfuckers are wild. Yeah. Like no, and that's what they did. They were like, we can like backstroke our way through the midterms if we just get enough of these motherfuckers in. And I'm like, I think most people would have appreciated some real like turned up rhetoric on like. Like corporate profiteering,
literally
and
anything,
some other shit like
anything.
That.
yeah,
right.
No, but it is true. Kind of amazing that people are like, yeah, but they were in power for just the last 2 years and had majorities in the Senate and the House and the presidency, and they didn't do anything. And people were like, yeah, good. And you're like, what? What do you mean, good? Like,
right.
I'm tired of Washington doing stuff, says no one.
right.
But Democrat.
I mean, like, yeah, because with the Inflation Reduction Act, I mean, it was like the most we've ever spent on climate, you know, anything, because we don't spend anything.
Yeah, right.
So it's like hard to be like, yeah, let's go, when it's like the bar was zero.
Yeah.
So $2.
Although I will say
it.
Friends in environmental space, they said that this is like probably the biggest, most important environmental bill of our lifetime. Like they were very enthusiastic about the bill, even though you're right, it should be like 70% of our GDP spending should be on something like this probably.
Yeah, when you look at like the amount of just military spending and you're like Jesus Christ. Every time I see like whenever I see like military helicopters fly over LA, I'm like, wow, there goes a lot of insulin.
There goes a lot of insulin.
But please, my most joyful moment of the past week on the internet had to have been Eli Lilly losing.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
so much money.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But the delight, gorgeous. The delight of them then having to defend, sorry for the misinformation. JK, we're still going to charge you out the ass for your insulin.
We're still making profits and owning the market in America.
Unfortunately, you aren't a value add for us as a friend.
No.
Sorry about that.
You're toxic.
You're toxic.
You're so
with
toxic.
Your needs. Oh my gosh.
You guys are like human diabetes.
What? Please help us. Oh, sorry. We're trying to stay in the black this year. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll come back just to talk about some finger pointing on the right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
And we're back, and the Republicans, y'all, I mean, you know, for all the chaos that's going around, they really should just change their name to the fucking Knife Party at this point, because
to the Republicans.
Yeah.
Oh. Woo.
How about that?
Tell them.
Take that, motherfucker.
Dude, fucking windmill on him, Matt. Yeah. Don't hurt him, Matt. Well, don't hurt him, please.
Posterize him right there with that one.
Yeah. But like,
red
at
wave,
this point,
more like red Graves.
Hey, all right. Vanessa Redgrave. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right.
Got well, him.
Right now, the Party of Personal Responsibility wants fuck all to do with any concept of responsibility to do with the midterms. Although it should be noted that the Republicans look like they will have around a 2-seat majority in the House with current projections. There's still stuff that's up in the air, but that sort of seems like where things are going to land. And also, it should be noted that over the weekend, the Democrats were able to, you know, solidify the majority in the Senate. With the runoff being just a little bit of just a little icing on top of the cherry, if that's how that phrase goes. I don't think
that's
it
how
is.
It goes.
But let's check in with some of the saltier beings on the right. First up, Sarah Palin. She is just going at the party itself for letting her be herself. She put this IG post that this Daily Beast or this article in The Independent describes as in a conspiracy laden Instagram post. Ms. Palin blamed the, quote, cockamamie ranked choice voting system, Senator Lisa Murkowski and the, quote, dark dysfunctional GOP machine after she was seemingly trounced by Democrat Mary Peltola for a second time in 3 months. Shout out to Mary. Goes on to say, quote, this is from Sarah Palin. The GOP establishment deserves losses until it's willing to fight for what is right. So we have somebody saying, they didn't let me be MAGA enough. And they're like, that was the problem. Yeah. They were trying to un-MAGA you, but go off, Sarah. It's fine. It's just,
I keep forgetting she exists.
Fault. Yeah, 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 yeah.
She's, I think, like, so do the voters of Alaska.
Right. Yeah, because when she comes back, they're like, oh my God, what is this? Like a throwback meme? All right, I guess we'll see what happens. Chris Christie, who on a given day could have a take that makes him sound like Don Jr. or James Carville, depending on like how he's feeling. You never know, because he's so, you know, flip-floppy. He was back on his anti-Trump shit. He said, quote, almost every one of these Trump-endorsed candidates that you see in competitive states has lost. It's a huge loss for Trump. And again, it shows that his political instincts are not about the party. They're not about the country. They're about him. Yeah. But y'all knew true. That. You've been saying the same thing for since 2016.
Right. Okay. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
Everyone knows this. The question is whether or not you were complicit in allowing him to continue to do it. I mean, everyone knows what he is. And everyone knows that his political instincts are completely about self-preservation. And whenever he loses, everyone's like, oh, what a loser, huh? That could never be me. And then he wins something and be like, I love you, master.
It's just like a spineless bunch of fucks. Like, spineless fucks. And there's actually Jamel Bowie, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his last name, but in the New York Times last week wrote about, like, this was before the election, but it's like, doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to be an election denier to, like, you could just choose not to be. You chose to be. Like, it's your choice, you fucking assholes.
They have a real problem because they already are like a party that's willing to say anything to anyone, no matter what it means. And because of that, no one has a sense of center, like, at all.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, if you have no shame.
Yeah, for sure. They're all like these, they're all creatures. They're all like organisms in this like nebulous thing. And they're like, what are we today? Fascist or blah, 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 super Christian and we care about baby. Blah, 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 blah. Or it's this, you know, like. And
I
so
love your impression
of
an amoeba. I think you should do a whole podcast as an amoeba.
it's an audiovisual experience. You got to see my cilia on the cell wall moving. Your cilia. Thank you so much. I don't have a flagellum. If you are curious what this thing looks like, it's all cilia. It's all cilia. But you know, so like for example, Elise Stefanik and JD Vance. They're already endorsing Trump for 2024, even though as of this recording and when they gave the endorsement, Trump has not announced his candidacy, although we believe that's going to happen Tuesday, the day you hear this. So who knows? Get ready for that. But it's just what's interesting is like Trump is he's really hard to deal with because he doesn't conform to anything they're used to because like he's dumb. But also has an unsettlingly good instinct for amassing influence. Yes. So, and every year he gets more erratic. He gets like less cunning, like in the way they're like, oh, that's a finesse thing. He's just like, just the mask just completely comes off more and more and more. But the establishment parties or the establishment figures in the party like look on as if he's like this Pokemon on his way to its like final powerful form. And they just kind of stare and do nothing. And honestly, the fact that they didn't fucking impeach him after January 6th, they basically hit him with the gamma rays that made Bruce Banner the Hulk at that point. Yeah. Because now you've fully been like, yo, you had your shot right there. And now you're stuck with him and he's become the brand. And now anybody who wants to stop him is basically saying, I'm diametrically opposed to the brand and go ahead. Like, let's see some fireworks then.
That's part of the cynicism
that I was saying this overrated. I feel like it's this idea that everything is fucking inevitable. Like, he's inevitable. You're like, no, he's not. You could just not gamma ray him. You could just make a different fucking decision. And instead, it's so disempowered or something. It's just so fucking cynical. It's just about money. Maybe disempowered is the wrong thing because it's all about power. Anyways.
Right.
Well, it disempowers the people who actually do have the power to do something. If you're a Republican in the House or Senate during January 6th, you had the power to not gamma ray him, to not make him like above the law. And you didn't. And so now everyone else.
Mitch McConnell was right there.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell was right there. And throughout the whole midterms, he was like, man, we have a Senate quality problem. Yeah, motherfucker, because you're not challenging any of Trump's weirdo picks. And you're going against. You spent all this time being the Grim Reaper and bringing all these majorities to the Senate. And then this guy just comes. He's like, we need more people who deny the election from 2 years ago. And they're like, that's not the best. Also, the people you're running in Arizona for governor, Doug Ducey, he could just go for re-election and have a better chance at winning than a Democrat. Just it looks like is about to happen because Carrie Lake, again, is like fascist Real Housewife, like with her whole presentation.
Her Vaseline?
Yeah, yeah, I
wait,
I gotta
what about
give
the
it
Vaseline?
Up.
Well, she's just made of Vaseline, is what I assume. But no, go on.
Vaseline on the lens.
Vaseline on the lens, just like
yeah,
a nice,
she's
soft,
a
focus.
Nice soft bloom. There's always a nice bloom around her because I'll give it to her. She as like a TV anchor person, she understands lighting. unlike any of these other people. Because every time she was on TV, she had perfect fucking lighting. Like she like literally was doing a talking head bit in a Real Housewives show. I was like, okay, good for you. You have that dialed in. Anyway, Bootstrap boys, please go ahead and walk into the fire. You know, try and wrest control of your party. I'd really love to see it from here, just to see how many of y'all like take one step into the breach and be like, I got it, never mind.
Fuck it.
Because it doesn't seem like y'all have a winning hand there.
I do love watching them all turn on each other, though. It's very nice for me. It's cathartic. Oh,
you know what? Let's give ourselves a little bit of a treat. I do want to play this clip from Ted Cruz on his podcast where he's just talking about like, who's to blame for the midterms? He's like, I'm pissed.
Ted Cruz has a podcast?
Yeah. It's called The Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Oh, Lord.
Check. So this is a little soundbite of him doing a little bit of a, you know.
Mouth breathing?
Post-mortem on the midterms.
Okay.
The rage Americans are feeling across this country, the rage that I'm feeling, there are almost not words to describe it. Because this opportunity was screwed up. It was screwed up badly, and the people are going to pay the price, or the American people. The country is screwed for the next 4 years because of this. We're going to see horrible left-wing judges confirmed for the next 2 years because of this. We're going to see judges taking away our free speech rights, our religious liberty rights, our Second Amendment rights. It is an enormous missed opportunity, and I got to say, it is hard to describe my feelings as anything other than rage right now.
It's all those judges that are in the Supreme Court, I think, that are the ones taking away the rights, Ted.
The reason that you guys lost is
also,
all the judges.
Do you know which Americans are not upset? All of the ones who voted, the majority of them, were not those people.
Ooh. Turns out you're talking to a small group of people there, Teddy. But I just also, I wanted to bring up that point because it has to be mentioned that he also was puffing his chest out about, here are my Cruz 25 picks for 22 victory fund. He had the Cruz 25 for 22 victory fund where he was courting donations for these house races that Cruz was focused on helping us deliver a majority. And I got to tell you, man, of the 24 of the people that were new, like, or people trying to challenge an incumbent, fucking 9 won their races. He did. He was 9 for 24. This motherfucker swung out bad. He struck out bad. So he's also part of that Tucker Carlson crew of people who are like, I'll tell you where to put your money. I know where it goes. Then when the shit goes left, he's like, I don't know. I'm so mad. We need to figure out what's going on. It's like you're an invertebrate and you went with the MAGA shit. And that's why it went that
invertebrate.
Way.
It's just such a pleasure to watch evil people fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a rarity these days. So it's nice to feel it and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And also them being like, yo, they tripped because their shoelaces are untied. Watch, they're not going to look at their shoelaces again and try and get back up. And they're doing that. They're like, watch, they're not going to try and actually figure out what the fuck the problem is. They're going to just
the
double
floor
down.
Is covered in rakes and they keep stepping on the rakes and it hits them in the nose.
Did you see Jesse Waters, the clip where he was talking about it's single women and the reason that single women, they should got to get married. And then
too
they
many
won't.
Single women.
There's too many single women. And once they get married, they no longer vote Democrat. And you're
exactly.
Like,
once.
Call in your white friends bitches.
What they need to do is get married to a cop with anger issues who will stand over their shoulder as they vote. And that's how we'll solve this thing.
Ding, ding.
Very unsettling.
That was McNulty saying, what the fuck did I do? Sorry.
Sorry, McNulty.
Rebecca's never watched The Wire.
Oh man.
The first two episodes, it was so stressful to me. And it was already after the whole thing was done. I was like, I can't be stressed for 4 years or whatever.
Right, you shit all over yourself.
Exactly how it felt.
Well, I gotta say, Rebecca, Amy, it's been fantastic having you on the Daily Zeitgeist again. Please come back. I promise Jack will be on the next time because every time I'm like, God, don't miss this. But where can people find you and follow you and support all the fantastic work that y'all do?
Yes, we have a brand new show out today, a series of our own podcast, us talking about grief and America and how we figure out collectively how to think about the past instead of just pushing it down so that we can have a better future. And it's out now. It's called Grief Collected. You can find it on the Mashup Americans feed, anywhere you listen to pods, or go to griefcollected.com. And we promise that it's actually really joyful to talk, have these really intense, beautiful conversations about kind of just like, turns out loss and grieving is just what it means to be alive and to love.
Good grief, if you will.
Good grief. Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
That I think that is a podcast.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, shout out to that pod, but
My bad.
I mean, it's like anything, any like fucking first instinct idea is a fucking pod. Exactly. Like you can almost, or an improv group. So it's one of the two.
That's true. That's
fantastic. But yeah, the grief is so like important, and I think it's so important for people to not. So much of my own like personal development and growth has come from like actually confronting a lot of situations where I wasn't grieving properly. And that was sort of like one of the big steps I had to take to move into like a healthier like emotional space is to like, typically you think grief, you think about something where you're grieving. You're like, I don't want to think about that. Fuck that. Put that over there. And a lot of the work I've tried to do is to transform my grief into understanding that grief is, it's just the other side of the love. Token.
That's exactly it. And it's actually, there's so many kinds of loss and grief that we all are always like, even the loss of the future we thought we maybe would have.
Almost everything we talked about today, like looking, thinking about climate, thinking about kind of a dream of an American government that didn't devolve into January 6th, thinking about, you know, a loss of hope or a cynicism. I think, you know, grief in America is often very simplistically defined or thought about as simply death, a death loss. And that is certainly a huge one. But also right now, like, it feels like we're on the precipice of something, which is, I think your show goes into so much, like, what is in the American psyche? And it turns out like a lot of it is unprocessed, unmetabolized grief. And so it's just, it's been super... It's actually been super fun. We laugh, we cry. We really hope you guys all listen.
Oh, yeah. Important. And did you say your handles so people can find follow you in that? Did you say that?
Yes. At Mashup American on all the social. And you can go to griefcollected.com to find all the information. I just scroll TikTok, but I don't have my own handle.
Okay. Amy.
But you can find me at Awesome Choi for as long as Twitter still exists.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm there to the bitter end, off. Yo.
Are we taking bets about when it won't exist? What's the plan? What's the bet over under?
I think this week we'll have a massive fuck up. I feel like we're due for something where everyone's like, y'all shit not loading either. And that'll probably happen.
But they fired everybody. Like, who's going to fix it? It breaks.
The people they begrudgingly hired back. But then we're like, these people we hired back are assholes. Just wait for the knowledge transfer and then fucking boot them again. It was like a leaked fucking exchange for people at Twitter. So. Yeah, I feel like I would be willing to bet massive fuck up for like user experience this week.
Okay,
it's gotta
great.
It's got to be in the books.
I look forward to checking.
I'm glad
on
it's in time for the launch of our new show.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll fully fall apart this week. I don't know. Maybe, that's my optimism. You know,
yeah, I'm you know what? Totally. I love that. And yeah, Matt, congratulations on this is your first child, I'm guessing.
My first baby.
Congratulations on becoming a dad. That's really fucking awesome.
I'm very happy, and I'm so tired.
So tired. Has the baby poo, do you have one of those charts? This is when I've blocked out a lot from the early days, but I specifically remember like a picture chart that some...
Yeah, is it mustard?
Yeah.
The mustard seeds and the...
Yeah. We're past mustard seeds. We're now at green...
green pasty disgust. Stuff.
Close to pasty, not yet paste because she's not eating solid foods. But listen, a poo poo by any other name would smell as disgusting.
Oh God, the mustard seeds.
Rebecca and Amy, was there any tweets or other works of social media that you wanted to shout out aside from that $100 tweet?
Oh, I want to shout out this guy on TikTok called Jesus Nalgas, who does impressions of basically.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Public school administrators, and it is the green screen is like the woman at the front desk at school or the nurse, and he is so funny and it's so accurate. And there's always this lady called a kid called Olivia who's always like Olivia is always doing wrong, and he brings me so much joy. So Jesus Nalgas, I big shout out to him on TikTok.
I like when the national parks, their social media, when they're saying things like, don't lick the psychedelic toads, things like that really bring me joy. Again, things that I think really bring us closer to the American psyche. Just knowing that people are traveling to the desert being like, gotta find me one of those toads.
Oh, wow. I'm not cynical, but people are so stupid. Anyways, with that, thank you.
What about you, Matt? Thanks for guest co-hosting today. Where can people find you, follow you, and what's some social meds that you want to distribute?
You can listen to my The Wire Rewatch podcast, Pod Yourself The Wire. And we just wrapped up the first season, or we're about to wrap up the first season. And we've done all of The Sopranos and our Sopranos Rewatch podcast, Pod Yourself A Gun, in which Miles and Jack have been guests. So check those out and give us 5 stars and a review and stuff. At Matt Lieb on Twitter, at Matt Lieb Jokes on Instagram. Please follow me. Okay. My favorite new tweet, I was just looking through because I realized that I hadn't found one yet. And apparently Pete Davidson is dating Emily Ratajkowski.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ratajkowski.
I'm Rata, yeah.
Yeah, and someone wrote, convinced, at The Real Arms wrote, convinced we're in a simulation and Pete Davidson has admin access. I love that. That is, I mean, you can't, they're not wrong. That motherfucker better have 6 dicks. I don't understand how this is possible.
I mean, look, there was another person who tweeted, they're like, I don't understand why people are so confused. Like, women have been saying they like nice guys who can make them laugh. So for all purposes or intents and purposes, you could assume that he's probably a nice guy and is funny.
Yeah, he's probably nice, funny, and also doesn't hurt that he is very, very famous and has a great track record. In terms of, seems like all of his girlfriends, past and present, are like, I don't have anything bad to say about him.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, just like, didn't Ariana Grande did, right? Wasn't she?
What did she say?
Wasn't in her album something?
We don't give the final judgment. That's for God.
That's for God. That's for God and the Korn, two of the members of Korn.
Obviously, thank you so much. They were the ones who will pass final judgment on Pete's soul when he transitions to non-physical.
And as we know, God is Jewish. Okay, that's my time.
let's see. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Some tweets I like. This one is from Josh Gondelman at Josh Gondelman tweeted, in a better world, Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump wouldn't be vying for the presidency, but rather running competing small town used car dealerships and making increasingly vicious commercials to run during local sporting events.
Hell yeah.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. That seems like that's what it should be. Another tweet I like is from at Kitan J.O. Kitan Joshi tweeted, here's the most awkward custom search function I've ever created. Everyone you follow who's also paid Elon $8 for a dodgy tick, the search of shame. And he put a hyperlink there that autofills your search bar so you can see who of your the people that you're following switched to blue check land. If you were so interested in such a thing. Because, look, the last days of Twitter, getting pettier and pettier. What can you say?
It's wonderful.
You can also find me on my other podcast with Jack. Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. That's our weekly NBA podcast where we talk all things basketball, as well as my other show, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where I get high and talk 90 Day Fiancé. Speaking of hyphen Americans, that's the great experiment, 90 Day Fiancé in exploitation.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Mad Boosties, I thought it was going to be a show about vaccines.
Yo, that would be wild. About people who are real fucking upset about getting a booster, too.
Yeah.
Mad Boosties.
Shouldn't have got that shit. Didn't even
hurt my arm.
Fuck my boostie.
I slept weird.
I sweat a little bit right after. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We've got a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
Thank you, Matt, so much for hitting us with that. Where we post the links to all the articles we talk about at, and also the song we are writing out on today. Want to ride out on a track from this producer who I used to like follow all their shit on SoundCloud, and now they're making shit that's official because they're doing it legit, and now it's on Spotify. And I'm like, okay, look at you. This is K Le Maestro, and they're an artist from Kinshasa, but then I believe moved to like London, and just kind of has a really dope, like, you can tell very influenced by like Madlib, J Dilla, Flying Lotus, things like that. Mm-hmm. And this track is called Gold. So if you like any of those producers or K Tronada, you'll definitely like this track. So this is Gold by K Le Maestro. Okay. So check that out. We're going to be back later today to tell you what's trending. But until then, we're going to be gone for a little bit and we'll talk to you then. All right, y'all. Bye.
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 There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.